Well, I'll desire your prayers one more time. We have been exploring this past week in revival the scripture in Hebrews 6 that said, I am persuaded better things of you and the things that accompany salvation. So I want to kind of end with that and pray that the Lord would encourage each one of us. So believe that if we, with our whole heart, endeavor to serve the Lord, that the Lord has made us some promises. I think they accompany salvation. The promises of God. I think that it is safe to trust the Lord. I believe it's the best thing that we can do in life is to put our hands into the Lord's hands. I believe the Lord will take us through. We live in a very peculiar time, I think, in history. The evil that abounds, men's hearts, those kind of things, the way they are. But God's not forsaken His people. We can trust the Lord the same today with the same results as anybody ever has. God's still there. I want to start off with a very familiar scripture. It was mentioned, I believe, already today. And you'll recognize it. Romans 8 and 28. Probably everyone's heard Romans 8 and 28. I'll be honest with you. I've been in times before that I've, and you all have mercy on me, but it's the way human feelings go, that I had thought about that scripture. I don't want to hear that scripture mentioned one more time. I've been in places before to where I'd get a phone call and it'd say, Brother Marty, be encouraged. Romans 8 and 28 says, all things work together for good. Oh, next call would come, Brother Marty, Romans 8 and 28 says, and all over. And I was like, I know it says it. And it's true. It says it. Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. It's true. It's true today. Be encouraged to serve the Lord that it works at all things. Everything works together for good. God is able to do that in our lives. It's a promise of God. The world may look rough, folks, but God is not going to forsake us. We can trust in the Lord today, and the Lord will. He will keep that promise to us. This promise was made, if you want to put it in the terms we've been using, the Lord has made this promise not to the whole world, not to everybody that's lived, not that everybody that's living, but those that's called according to His purpose, those that have started out with God and endeavoring to serve God. One of the things that accompanies salvation, the plan that we have, along with crosses, along with suffering, along with the temptations and trials of life, is a promise of God. Yes. All things work together for good. Do you know that it is impossible for you to be harmed, hurt, destroyed? It's impossible. When you're serving God, it's impossible that those things happen for you unless the Lord allows them. And that's why we say, trust the Lord. The Lord knows what to do with those things. And He uses the things in our life. But don't you know that all things work together for good? And it didn't say all things was good because it's not. Yes. But God has a way of being able to take the elements of our life, the things that happen, He's able to take that, and I'm not telling you anything you probably haven't heard over and over and over again, but be encouraged today that it is still true. When we serve the Lord, part of this thing that accompanies salvation, I believe, is His great wings of mercy that He puts over His children. I believe, if you'll give me the liberty of this, I believe the shadow of those wings even go out to our loved ones sometimes that don't know He will, because the scripture over there in Sodom and Gomorrah, where he said that for Abraham's sake, I think of that quite often, he said not for Lot. The Lord did not deliver Lot because of Lot or anything else he had done. He had made some bad decisions and he was partaking of some things he shouldn't have been partaking of. But the Lord said for Abraham's sake, he delivered Lot out of there. I think for the promises God made. God, because of our prayers and because we're His children, will extend them sometimes, even to the shadow, will reach out to those that are around us. Aren't you glad that it's that way? Amen. We know the story of Joseph, but I want to rehearse a little bit of it anyway. I don't think Joseph really done anything to deserve anything that he had got done to him. The Lord had made him what he was, and he began to see the meanings of dreams and different things, and his father seemed like that he had special favor to Joseph, and that was true. And in the whole thing, it kind of stirred the hearts of his brothers. And his brothers intended to do evil to Joseph. And they did evil to Joseph. And they took him and treated him badly. They took him and put him into a well. They would have killed him. They didn't know what to do with him. They put him down in a well. All of that is bad things. But don't you know that all things work together for good? And God, that is one of our best scriptures for looking at how God, with an intention and a plan in His life, He planned it, He intended it, He worked it. But not only for Joseph, who was faithful, He done it for the whole generation that He had brought forth. He was going to bless them, and this is the way that God chose to do it. And Joseph had one thing to do, be faithful and believe all things work together for good to them that love God and called according to His purpose. Joseph was called. And the things that happened into his life was not pleasant. Those things were working good. Can you believe it? Can you believe it could possibly be good or turn out good that your brothers throw you down into a well? Nope, that's bad. Bad things happen from bad things, that's all. You know, that is the way it works. Unless God's in it. And God can maneuver bad things into good things in your life. Recently we had an event, I don't want to mention it all out, but we had an event where a brother was doing some work and he needed to put in a bid for a job. And somehow he did that, and in the process somehow his wife, she didn't do something she needed to do, and so the bid didn't get in, they didn't get the job, and it seemed like that was a bad thing, and she remorsed over it, and how could she have done something like that, and all. And then sometime after that, we had a testimony. My brother stood up and said, oh, I want to thank the Lord for something. I put a bid in, and boy, would that have been a bad bid. You know, it looked like it was the bad thing. It looked like bad happened, and even there was some sorrow for it and all those things. But boy, when it all was done, sure glad it worked that way. He said, I would have lost my shirt on that job. It was an awful bad thing to work. But the Lord allowed it to intervene on what looked bad. Looked like a mistake. It looked like those things shouldn't happen. We should be more on top of it than that. But it worked out to the good and was thankful for it. God, folks, God has made a promise to you and I right here in this time world that we live in. It's safe to trust God. It's safe to put our life into God's hands. Right here in this world of evil and all that goes around us, it is safe to live for God. God is not going to forsake us here in this time. And we can get anxious about many times we get anxious about the things. Oil prices is rising. Has oil prices ever been as high as they are now? I don't know. Have we set some records recently? Oil prices going up. Maybe it's been higher at some times, but they're climbing. The predictors are predicting that it's going to go higher and higher and higher and higher. And we look at that and say, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to afford to do this? Or how are we going to afford to do that? And this is going wrong and this. And what about our economy's down and all those things? Folks, we're not living out this world anyway. Do you know all that is bad? But this says all things work together for good. For good. So we can turn that around and say, those things are working good. They have to be. God promised that they'll be. He'll work the good things into our lives. See, Joseph was taken out of that well, and And they, a little bit of mercy was shown. They took him and they sold him into slavery. Sent him down to Egypt. I wonder what that was like. Young man, didn't know the culture, didn't know what was going on, put in a caravan, took down to Egypt. Probably was a little fearful. I imagine it was very awkward. I imagine he was treated just like he was. He was a slave. I imagine he was treated like a slave. Went down there and the Lord showed him favor. Oh, he showed him favor, right? He put him in Potiphar's house. He probably thought, I'm coming along pretty good now in this situation. And lo and behold, bad things start to happen again. And you know who would have believed him, young man? You remember the story. He ran out of there without his garment. You know what the story was. If you heard that story, what would you think? You'd think what they thought. They thought that. Well, the Lord moved him from one place to another. He ends up in prison. Well, that's bad too. Yes. It's bad. God was working in all of that. Yes. And God works, if you're a child of God and you know it, be assured today that God is working in your life. God will keep his promises, and what looks to be bad has an ultimate good to it. God is working. They took Joseph from that point. And God was just giving him the opportunity to fill that place. That God had a plan that he was going to put Joseph up into a place of authority. It was ordained for the people of God that Joseph get into that place, that they go there. That was the plan of God the whole time through. And Joseph fulfilled that, and the Lord used that in his life. And God will use our lives the same way. I had a brother say one time, he said he remembered pulling out behind a car and said he was going to work and he got real frustrated. He was late. He said, I was real late and I hate to be late. And he was going late, and as he pulled out a car, a real slow car, gotten right in front of him. And he was trying to go and he couldn't get around it, and he was getting frustrated, and he got up around there a little bit, and just moments ahead, a car had wrecked up there, and he pulled up and a car wrecked, and he said to the Lord, let him to know you was right in line for that. They're so close. It could have been him. And then he was taking a different attitude. The Lord had protected me right there in that place. I want to tell you, God has protection for us. You can step out in God. When God wants you to do something, step out into it. God will protect you in those kind of things. He watches over his children. I think it's impossible that any of them be harmed in this life until God says this is the time. I don't believe that we can die. I don't believe we can die until the Lord says it's time for you to come home. Jesus performed that when he was here. They tried to kill him. They tried to do all these things to him. And until he come his time that he laid it down, they could not touch him because it wasn't his time. Paul went through those same kind of things. And wasn't it Paul that was beaten and thrown outside the gates that's dead? He said, but the Lord lifted him up. It wasn't time for Paul to come on. Oh, he'll let him go through a few things. But it wasn't time. Then a man named Stephen one time gave his life for the gospel's sake. And what happened? There was a man named Paul that God wanted to work in his life and give him a testimony that give him passion and the desire to be able to preach with positively of the gospel. And he made a situation to where this guy could say, this is where I was at. I held the coat. I was there. But don't you know that worked to a greater good of the gospel work? God's in control today. I want to look at another scripture. It's over in Psalms, 34th chapter of Psalms. He's still God today. He's still on his throne. He still works in our lives. In 34th Psalm, 6th verse says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and deliver them. Again, this scripture is not talking about everybody in the world. It's talking about the ones that fear the Lord. And it says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, if we was to open up this service today to the testimonies of God's mighty hand in our lives. How many times God has protected us and kept us. And the things that we have committed to God, how many times could we say over and over that the Lord allowed something to work that worked better in my life? And how many times the Lord put protection over the things that I gave to the Lord? I said, Lord, this is yours. No, we got a, this was back in 2002 or so, we got a new van to travel around in. It was real nice. And I remember coming up to the idea, and it felt like the Lord just did that, answered prayer and gave me that, and came up to the time. It was just the Lord's. And I committed it to the Lord, and come up to the time we're going to kind of insurance put on it. And I don't know. I'm not preaching this to everybody. I'm just telling you the way the Lord dealt with me. That came to me is it the Lord's or not? I said, the Lord, you're able to keep it. And so I was duty bound to put liability on it. And so I put liability on it and knew that if it was lost, it was lost. But I gave it to the Lord. Amen. Do you know how many times that it came back to me? The Lord's protecting his things over and over. Right before we crashed, we didn't. Right before somebody run into us, they didn't. Going 75 miles an hour on cruise control. Oklahoma. It was the speed limit, so I was right there. Cruise control, everybody in the van was asleep. And I'm going along. And I looked ahead of me, and here come a deer coming across. And I knew that our paths was going to meet. Here come the deer, and here I went. No time to brake, no time to do anything. The only thing it was time to was say, Lord help. And when I went by to this day, I'm telling you, the angels of the Lord encamped around. That deer came, and how a deer could have done it, there's no way it could have done what it done. But that deer stopped and spun like a top in midair. I went by it and seen its feet right by my window as I went by, and it never touched. It was upside down, right there, my feet going right by me, and went by, and the only thing I could do is say, thank the Lord, and it came to me. I'm able to keep that which thou hast committed to me. It was the Lord's, and it's the Lord's. And I just said, praise the Lord. It was right there. The Lord, the angel of the Lord, spun that deer just before it hit us. Just before it did. Many times we've seen that happen. God working in our lives. All things work together for good. God is over top of these things, folks. I want to leave that as an encouragement. And the end of this revival meeting today, to encourage us to press the battle on. Keep going. Realize in our darkest hour, in our toughest fights, God hasn't forsaken anyone that fears Him. God hasn't forsaken those that's called according to His purpose. That's accepted His salvation. He's there just as much when you feel Him or when you don't feel Him as when you feel Him. It's by faith that we got a hold of this thing. God is still on His throne and He's still working in our lives. And over I've seen that happen. Another time, my father-in-law was driving the van, and then we went, and this big buck come up over, and he hit the brakes and barely did it. I remember it coming to me. I'm able to keep that which is committed to me. Another time I was going to go off, and it was my fault. I went to go off of it was raining real hard, and I aimed to go off, and I didn't know there was another lane to switch to. It was raining and foggy, and I knew my exit was there, and I thought I was going into the exit, but I actually was pulling in front of somebody on another lane. And I went to pull in there, and here come a truck and a trailer, and it was all around. And how it didn't, I only can say, the Lord said, I am able to keep that which you commit to me. And I committed it to the Lord. When we bought our house in Green Bank, we prayed about it. We felt the Lord wanted us there, and so we prayed about it. And the Lord opened up this house. It had been sitting there for a long time and no one had bought it. And it was just the Lord worked it all out. But it was in the floodplain. Ordinance in Pocahontas County I didn't understand the ordinance, but there was an ordinance that you couldn't get flood insurance on a house in flood zone. You figure. But you couldn't get in Pocahontas County. And the bank loaned us the money anyway to buy the house. I never could figure that either. But they did, and we ended up with the house and in flood zone. Well, flooded a few times and never did any much damage. But I remember one time in particular, the river rose and started eroding away the banks, and the trees in my yard was washing away and undercutting, and here come it, and it kept working over and over and over closer. And first thing you know, I was looking out my dining room window, and I was looking pretty well straight down at the river. 2 feet. It was 3 feet from the bank and 2.5 from the undercut was the river from the house. I was standing out on the bridge, looking, watching the water come. Neighbor come over and was shaking his head. He said, "Marty, what are you going to do?" And I laughed. And I said, "What would you do?" "Got any plans?" I said, "I don't know. But I said, I know this. This is my faith. See, this is why it ain't my house. I committed it to the Lord when I bought it. It's a place for the saints to come. It's a place for God to be glorified. It's not mine. Lord worked it. And I said, it's yours, Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And I meant it. It's God's." And I told this brother, I said, this neighbor of mine, I said, "If the Lord wants it to go down the Greenbrier River, it's his house. But if I know the Lord, he'll stop that water just short of the foundation. And then the state's going to come back in here and build it back better than it's ever been before." And just before it got to the house, it stopped. And it receded back. And everybody looked and said, "Oh, that's ugly and needs fixed." And after a little working with it, the state came in there and cleaned it back off, hydroseeded it, put some nice big riprap limestone boulders in there. And it's better than it's ever been. It looked bad, but God worked in all things. Floods, what looks bad, what looks destructive, all things work together for good. I got a better yard than I ever had. I'm thankful God done that for me. It was a little trial to go through. The angels of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him. I was also at the house one time back when I worked in the coal mines. I was getting ready to go to work one night. And I got fearful. Things happen. You get things in your mind. The old devil comes and starts lying to you. For some reason, I was dreading going. Had a feeling of impending doom. You all don't feel that way, but I have. Come to me is, as you leave, the house is going to burn down. Oh, I labored around with that. Didn't want to leave. Milled up in the night. Didn't want to spend the night away. Fearful, fear and those kind of things. But the Lord spoke to me something. And he said, "The only thing you would do if you was here would be burn up with them." And I said, "Lord, have mercy. Isn't it the truth? What could I do? I'm not able to change the events of life. I can't help from bad things happening." And the Lord said, "Trust me. You know, I was able to give that to the Lord. It wasn't nothing to it anyway. I just give that to the Lord and knew that the angels of the Lord encampeth about. It's God that keeps us." I'm so glad today that I can serve a God that's on his throne. He still deals in the affairs of men. He still runs our lives. He's still there. He controls the things. This country of ours is in the hands of the Lord. The battles, the wars in the world, they're in the Lord's hands. The things, the turmoil and all that's going on in our culture and around us, they're all in the Lord's hands too. We can't change all that, but we can know this. God's not going to forsake us in it. Oh, there was a time where there was faithful men in Israel. But Israel wasn't faithful. And that was a promise that the Lord had given them because of their unfaithfulness, that he was going to allow them to be carried away. And they was going to go to a land that they was not used to. And they was going to be made to do things that they did not want to do. And he allowed them to be carried away. And do you know who he allowed to be carried away with these people? Daniel. Now you search the scriptures through and see if you can find a more dignified man than him. He loved God. And when they went to find an occasion against him, they could find none. He had, in their terms, he had the spirit of the gods, of the holy gods. There was something special that even they knew. But you know what? The Lord allowed Daniel to be carried away captive into a foreign place. But Daniel prospered. Daniel was able to live for God right down there in that old heathen empire. Right down there where they had all these gods and all those things that was so foreign. They went down there and he lived for God just as faithful there as he would have anywhere else. God was with him and helped him to rise up to be important right there through about three different kings. He was honored because God was with him. At that same time, there was three Hebrew children that went down into the history, and our children could sing songs about them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was allowed to be carried. Young men, very young, according to the history of it, very young men that was brought to a place, but it didn't destroy them. Yes. God used it and lifted them up above it because they were faithful. We live in a very wicked time. But we can lift up above it. God's with us to help us to be victorious right here over sin and self and everything this world's got. God can help us to be faithful right here in 2011 and beyond. Until the Lord comes back, we can still be faithful. And we can still know that I can trust my home, my car, my family, my children, My neighbors. I can trust these into the hands of the Lord, and he's just as capable as he's ever been of taking care of them. Yea, my own life also. I believe that I can consecrate my very life. I'm talking physical, literal, living right here on the earth, life to God, and be just as safe as I can be right here. But not everyone sees that. Let's look over in 2 Kings. Oh, let's see. We'll pick it up maybe in the 13th verse. 2 Kings 6 and 13. It says, and he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore send ye hither horses and chariots and great hosts. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they be with us are more than they that be with them. Oh, I want to tell you, it's easy to get discouraged when the devil lets loose his shock and awe tactics. And you get a phone call and there's one bad thing happened, and just before you can brace yourself real good for it, there's a knock at the door, and before you can get that done, you got another call, and first thing you know, it just seems like everything's overwhelming you, and you don't know what to do about it, and it looks like there's so much against you and nobody for you, and everything seems to be going the wrong way. And in this situation, there was a man of God there. This servant looked and said, how shall we do? In other words, what are we going to do? This says, how are we going to do? But what he meant was, I don't see any way out of this one. What are you going to do now? You talk this stuff, and you talk about God, and you say God's real, and all these things. And of course, I'm adding to what people say, but this is what happens, and people say this, and now you're put to the test. And look, you were compassed around, and all these things have happened in your life, but what are you going to do now? And the man of God said, well, fear not. They's more with us than they are them. Don't worry about it. Lord, help our faith. Yes. Lord, give us a faith. My burden for this whole meeting has been the things that accompany salvation, that it be real to our lives. And that this is another one of them, that faith in God and God's work in our lives is a reality. And if we believe it and hold to it, It'll strengthen us against the day we fight, because we'll be able to say, God be with us. Now, if God be with us, the scripture says, who can be against us? One honest soul and God outnumbers all the rest. God outnumbers them all. And so Elisha here says, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now I go say that outpowered this other thing. When he really could see. But don't wait for the Lord to open your literal eyes to see the chariots. You'll never see them. The man of God prayed. He was in the place. I think it's a real good type. The man of God, by faith, saw the chariots. He saw the protection of God. He believed he was in God's hands, led to this place, doing the Lord's work. And the angel of the Lord encamped about him. He was in the place the Lord wanted him to be in. Who could hurt you? Now here comes this great army looking like that they're going to destroy him. But by faith, he saw what God had. Opened his eyes. And when he opened the servant's eyes, oh, would today that God would open our eyes to greater faith in him. To believe that it's in his control. To believe that we can trust God with our lives, with our families, with those loved ones that aren't saved, that there is a great God working. The very best opportunity that they have in life is for us to stay faithful and put their case in the hands of God. I believe God is able to take all these events of our life and cause them to turn out good. Turn out good. I'm going to read it one more time. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. That's pretty significant, isn't it? But this is not rare. Down through the time, God worked that way with his people. And I'm reminded of the time that David went up to check on his brothers. And when he got up there, the great champion Goliath the Gath came out. 40 days he had come out and challenged the armies of Israel. I don't know what all he said. There's some scripture that says that. He taunted them. "Is there not a man? Y'all's warriors, why don't you send a man? Well, y'all afraid? Would y'all come down here and just send one man down here, your best champion, just send him down here and we'll fight. And whoever wins, if he can beat me, well, we'll be your servants and vice versa. Just send a man down here and fight. I defile the armies of Israel. I defy the God of Israel," he was saying. You know, trying to entice him to come there. And there was no courage. There was no courage. And along come David, just a little shepherd boy. He came up and he heard that. And he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistines that he should defile the armies of the living God?" You see, in my mind, David believed something down in his heart. I believe David had heard the stories, don't you? Isn't it natural that David knew the stories of his heritage? Don't you think that sitting around the fires at night that Jesse told his sons of the heritage that they had in God? Sure they did. It was handed down by mouth to mouth, by hand to hand down from father. Of course he told him the story. David had heard the stories about how the children of Israel coming out of Egypt had come up to the Red Sea and being pressed behind by the Egyptians and the Red Sea spread open. At God's command, the wind blew and they crossed on dry land, and the Egyptians are saying to do the same thing, drowned in there. And when they got to the other side, they sung the song of Moses and of deliverance, and they arrayed. And David heard that, knew that story, didn't he? But he believed it. He believed it. Then No doubt David heard the story of Joshua. Joshua wasn't alive in the days of David. Joshua was a hero of the past, of faith. And David had heard, don't you think? I'm taking some liberty, but don't you think David had heard the story of Joshua? And now Joshua came and the Lord told him at Jericho to march around the city 6 times. And on the 7th day, go 7 times and then be quiet. And then at the right time, he was going to shout and blow the bugles and all that. Don't you think David heard that story? And when they done it, the walls came down and they rushed in and spoiled the city. Don't you think David heard that? Don't you think the other men of Israel heard that?
Yes.
The story was well told. David believed it. What about the sword of Gideon? What about, you think David might have heard of Gideon? The sword of the Lord and Gideon. I feel like maybe as a young boy he might have jumped on a rock. You know how youngsters are. Jumped up on a rock with a stick and hollered, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon," and reacted. My children play church all the time. They'll get their songbooks and they'll sit down and one of them will be the preacher. They'll get up and preach and they play church and they react what they've taught to them. And sure they do.
Amen.
David heard the stories. And he believed them. He believed them. And there come a time that now he's faced with his time. He come up to his day. And he didn't run from it. He believed in the God of Israel.
Amen.
And the wings. If you don't believe it, read his writings. He talked about that protecting God. That put his arms over his people and kept them. And David said, "I'll go down. But you're just a boy. You're just a lad. And he's a warrior from his youth. And you're just a youth. What are you going to do?" Be faithful. I will be faithful to a God that's worked mightily in our past. He'll work mightily again. But it goes beyond all that. It goes to the heart. I'd rather die trying than leave it undone. God's worth that. And David, by faith, went down with his sling. You know the story. He turned down the armor. Said he hadn't proved them. In other words, it's not what God used in the past. It wasn't what God blessed. What God blessed in the past was a little boy with a youth's faith and a sling. And so he took his faith and his sling. That's what God used in the past, and he said it's good enough now. And he went down and he chose 5 smooth stones. Now, Brother Paul Phillips brought out an interesting idea. Scripture goes on later and says that, always wondered why 5 stones, but Scripture goes later and says that Goliath had 4 brothers. And that's just an interesting tidbit. But hey, who knows? He might have figured if they take it up too, I got a stone for each one. God, I'll provide a stone for the Lord to use on if they want to take up the fight. But the end of it, folks, is that the giant couldn't conquer the faith and trust of just a ruddy youth, a shepherd boy. A man that was talented in war and knew how to throw men, knew how to battle, knew how to war. But he couldn't overdo the faith of a shepherd boy. And I want to tell you today that this world cannot outdo the faith of a young shepherd boy. He will. This world and all the devil has cannot outdo the faith of a humble saint, of somebody that will just give their life to God humbly. The world will never outdo it. God will see to it that it never happens. He's our God today. Do you believe the stories? Do you believe the Red Sea really come open? Did the walls of Jericho really fall down? Oh, I remember a Paul Harvey. You remember Paul Harvey? Paul Harvey told a story. One of his, it might have been the rest of the stories. I think it was just his news bit, though. He said that the archaeologist was digging around the ancient city of Jericho. Now, he told this on the news. And said they was puzzled They was thinking maybe an earthquake or something. He said that the wall, the way the walls fell was peculiar there in that ancient city. And Paul Harvey kind of lowers his voice to a whisper and says, "But we know, don't we?" Yes, we do know, because God said it to be so. And I believe that. But it goes farther than that with me. It means he can tear down the city, the walls of my life too. When I'm faithful, God can move in my life too. And when the odds in the days of Gideon, and when the odds are too big. Oh, that was great odds against Gideon. Way too big. But God had a way to give Gideon the victory. And over it goes, down through the histories of time, when men, when the people of God have been outnumbered and outthought with better weapons against them, God prevailed through His Spirit. And it's the same today, folks. I wanted to leave you with this, just this little bit of a message. Have faith in God. Amen. Believe and know that God is still God for your life. And there's nothing that can happen to you that doesn't come through His hand. And when it comes and it looks so rough and it looks so impossible, have faith in God. And say, "Lord, I know, and unlike me, never tire," from Romans 8 and 28. "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and the called according to His purpose." The only thing, the part that I play in it is to ever seek and to ever desire to be one of those that love God and is called according to His purpose. And God will do the rest. You pray for me.